Hello, and welcome to Legal Management Talk, the official podcast of the Association of Legal Administrators. I'm your host, Justin Askenazy. As we look to emerge from the pandemic, it's important to take stock of our mental health after what has been a long and challenging 3 years. Many of us have probably felt lonely or scared during this time, especially in a stressful industry like legal. Our guest today, Executive Coach Laura Terrell, is here to tell us how to deal with these big emotions in a way that allows us to continue being an effective leader, as well as how to pivot our mindset to set us up for success. Welcome, Laura. It's great to have you on.
Great. Thanks, Justin. It's a pleasure to be with you. And this is a great, very timely topic to talk about. So I'm looking forward to it today.
Definitely. So firm administrators have undoubtedly been under a lot of stress with the pandemic, the shift to remote work, bringing people back to the office, running a law firm amid a boom in business in recent years, and so much more. How have you found administrators coping with these challenges?
It's a great question. I think we are starting to see different ways of adapting in different legal environments. I work with a lot of managers and attorneys in law firms, for example, where for the last several years, so many people have worked primarily hybrid or primarily remote. And there is an effort, I think, now to get people to be re-engaged and to be in an office environment, in part because we really do need to connect as people to run the business, to collaborate on matters. I went to an event for a law firm where there was an effort to get all of the women attorneys in the office to come together for a short presentation and some social networking as well. And I think that was very well received. One person said to me, "We haven't done this since mid-2020. That's been a long time since we've been together." And I think what administrators and managers are finding is that there is an interest in being present and being in the office in person, but it needs to be for purposeful reasons. So some of the things I hear managers talk about are having days when an entire team agrees to be in the office together to collaborate. People may be in the office other days, but trying to coordinate so that there is a purposeful reason to be together. And if there's going to be a meeting, it shouldn't be something that could be done over Teams or over Zoom, but something that would really benefit from in-person work, that would benefit from being able to come together and use time wisely. I've also heard from several managers who said, "I find it more productive to be able to work in person and talk with certain employees or certain people that I interface with because I just don't have the same relationship on a video or on a phone call. It's really critical that I have a way to connect in person." So I hear some people saying offering a lunch meeting or trying to do something that has an in-person component like touring new space in a building or looking at how things could be reconfigured to better provide space for people when they are working in the office on a remote or hybrid basis. So I think that purposeful engagement is something that I hear a lot of administrators and managers talking about, because if there's a reason to come together, if there's a reason to be present in the office, people embrace it and people are willing to do it. And I think those who are charged with leading and being the people that help to bring an organization together and help it to function better in a post-COVID environment where people have not seen each other in person for a while is really important.
And how would you say that that leaders should establish reasons to be in the office? Because if that's a key element of getting through these challenges, then you know, you say that having a reason to come to the office is important. So how do we create those reasons?
Well, I think it's important to consider what can be done via remote and what could be helpful to have a team do in person. For example, if you need to have a brainstorming session, I think a lot of managers find that something that's more productively commenced in person, that you can see people's reactions. You can get people to participate that aren't putting their camera on silent mode and aren't going dark or maybe not showing their face or maybe are having trouble. A lot of times on a Zoom or another video conferencing function, it's really hard to see if somebody is trying to speak or raise their hand, or one person might dominate the conversation. And a lot of the people that I speak with think that that in-person collaboration is important. And to do that, that's a reason to get people in the office. But I think distinguishing the meetings or the tasks that you need to accomplish that can be done individually or can be done remote versus what can be done in person and what people then say, that was really worthwhile. That was worth my time. Because I think in most environments right now, people are spending some time working still from home, doing some remote and hybrid work, certainly in the legal industry, at least. And people need to know that their time will be valued. What would be a good use of their time to be in the office? If it's just to do a brief touch base call or to be available in case someone else is in the office, that can be a little bit dissatisfying. People can feel that maybe they didn't really need to be in the office for only one person to come by the whole day. But if they had a cadre of meetings or in-person sessions that really contributed to solving a problem that otherwise it was hard to get everybody all on the same page and all in the same room together, that feels more rewarding. And I think if people feel rewarded and they feel valued with their time, they're more likely to participate in an in-person opportunity.
Sure. And so without those in-person opportunities, and as work is getting done over Zoom, certainly a lot of feelings of loneliness can come up. And so when that happens, how can people respond? What sort of tools should people have in their toolkit?
I think it's very easy for people to start working individually and maybe realizing, hey, it's been 2 or 3 days since I connected with someone from my team, or I haven't really been able to talk meaningfully about this project I'm working on. And it's important to set that time. A great example, I have a client who was actually needing to work at home on a reduced schedule for certain reasons and found that they were getting disconnected from the people and the work that they were doing. And so they decided to set regular calls, not just to check in and catch up and generally talk, but calls where the client could say, for example, I want to talk to my senior team leader on this, or I want to talk to the point person for this project, and I want to go over where we are and how I can be helpful to them. And I think when people introduce that kind of in-person interaction, they start taking less of the ice. They start taking the isolation they feel, and it becomes less as they start moving to work with another person and offering how they can help them. And this was a really successful strategy for this client who said, I had colleagues who said, I didn't want to bother you. Or I thought, well, I don't have a specific reason to reach out to you. But when you asked me how you could help me, I thought of ways we could work together. I thought of things that I needed to bring forward. I thought of resources that I needed that I wasn't sure how to access. And you helped me to understand those. So I think when you're feeling lonely, I think one way to combat that is to reach out to other people and see how you could be a support or a resource to them. And in turn, those people can be a resource or support back to you.
Right. And I want to take a moment to mention that, if you or someone you know is experiencing, these really deep fears of loneliness or in a mental health crisis, please be sure to reach out to someone or call 988, the Suicide Crisis Prevention Helpline, and seek help that way. So now I want to go back to having other people around you and using them for support. What are the best ways for people to reach out to colleagues, family, friends, to get that support that they might need?
One way is to establish a regular check-in with somebody that you feel comfortable with. That might be somebody outside of the office to whom you can just go for a walk with them, or you can do a brief phone call or catch up over a coffee somewhere that is not somebody that is necessarily immersed in the daily work you do, but is just a friend or a sounding board or maybe a former colleague that works in another environment now that knows you and you know them, and you can share things that are on your mind and get their input and get their feedback. So I think it's important to have resources that are outside your work life and to make those kinds of connections. I also think it's important in your work life to have people that you can talk to in a different way. Maybe it's to brainstorm about a problem that has been developing at work. Maybe it's about a project or an engagement that's proving to be a bit difficult, and you're not sure how to work with a new team that you've been assigned to, and the leadership is unfamiliar to you. Reaching out to somebody who can enlighten you on that. One of the things I find that people in legal environments often do is they're very talented. They work with extremely intelligent, high-functioning people, and they're told to find solutions and find problems and work through those issues and bring them to the table. And people can be left feeling that it's all on their shoulders to handle something. If you can have people that you identify that are regular connections that you can talk with, that you can use as a sounding board, people that are part of both your non-work environment and your work environment, I think you can get different perspectives. But I think it's important to do that regularly and reach out to people for that, especially even now. People are still not traveling as much as they used to, I think, in the legal industry, not doing as much in-person work. And so finding people that are available to you, setting whether it's a weekly call, a walk on a Monday afternoon, or even just going for a walk and having them on the phone with you while you're both doing a walk together or doing some other kind of workout. I also know people that are back to doing in-person sports. Maybe you have somebody you play a round of tennis with, or checking in with somebody to talk about a new restaurant or a new recipe that you've come up with, something that is unique and personal to the two of you that you can connect on and feel something that is not just functional or transactional for work, but is really a more connected relationship.
Right. No, I think it's so great to have those connections outside of work. And, you know, you mentioned workload. You know, I'm sure something that helps a lot with that is delegating. You know, I'm sure, and I know others are better at that. Some are better at that than others. What advice would you have for, you know, ensuring people can delegate what they can to kind of take some of that pressure off?
I think delegating is something that has always been a challenge in the legal industry. It's always been something that's been a bit of a tough place because, again, you're working with very intelligent people, administrators who manage large legal organizations who are responsible for extremely sensitive issues around budgeting and projects, attorneys who are responsible for millions of dollars in fees. And I think they feel a responsibility to be quite hands-on and to be able to report to the managing partner or the board or the firm administrator and be fully in control of the facts and the issues that are before them. But we also lose a little bit of the team dynamic. And we need to remind ourselves, we have a team or we have colleagues that we can help, that can help us and that we can help to see opportunities to take on more responsibility. I'm working with a client right now who has expressed one of the challenges about delegating is she doesn't see her team in front of her all the time. And her team's not always speaking up. So sometimes when something doesn't get done or something falls through the cracks or something isn't executed the way this person who's a manager would like, her instinct is to say, call the person, what happened? And the person says, well, I got overwhelmed or I wasn't sure where to go with this. And part of it is, again, I think people are afraid to pick up the phone. I do think regular team meetings to talk about what's on everybody's plate, what everyone's responsible for, and an offer of one-to-one if there are questions about a project that has been handed off or there are certain facets or aspects of the project that someone else is to handle are important. I don't mean a meeting for meeting's sake, but I think a team meeting, particularly in a remote environment, helps everyone feel connected. It helps them see the bigger picture. And it also helps the person who's the manager to be able to see, I can delegate this. I can feel confident because Justin or Laura are telling me what's going on with this project and I can see that they have a handle on it. Or they've told me they need some one-on-one time to clarify some things. So I think delegating also involves being a good manager to create an environment where that delegation is working well, and the people who are handling the responsibilities feel that they have a resource and that they're empowered to ask for help if they need it.
So on the subject of mindset and leadership, I read a Harvard Business Review article recently that discussed how what leaders feel about a situation, although certainly not something to disregard, can sometimes get in the way of the big decisions that they often have to make. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on how these two kind of elements can coexist?
Sure. I mean, we're all going through a lot of change. There are legal environments where people are having to make physical changes in their office space. Maybe they're consolidating, moving to a new environment, maybe moving to a hoteling situation where you don't have an assigned desk, but you have space when you come to the office. Or perhaps people are being asked to work at different hours, perhaps to be more flex in time. And I think all of those are the kinds of changes that create stress around, hey, maybe this isn't the way I'm the most comfortable working, or I see pitfalls if we do this. If we don't provide dedicated space, we still are a very paper-intense environment, for example, that we need people to have dedicated space. I don't think this is going to work well. I think one way to address that is, in the article in HBR was very good at explaining this, is to kind of refit your thinking around that. Okay, you see pitfalls. Maybe this is not something you're very excited about. How can you reach out to the team that's affected, the people that you're helping to make this transition or make this change? Seek their input on what you could do differently. Be realistic. If, for example, you can't change the fact that the office is moving to a different location that is not a great environment for folks, what could you do to make that an easier shift? What could be helpful to help people adapt to that? I think seeking input and seeking feedback from folks is really important. And I think acknowledging that this is something new and it's a change and there may be other changes that get made later on. I think that's the kind of honesty that's helpful. But I don't think that bringing in negativity, just dismissing this as a bad project or a bad idea without helping people to find a way through it, is productive. And I think that's what the author of this article was suggesting, which is, reframe your mindset so that you can try to help your team. You can solicit their input. You can help them to think creatively and also think of this as an opportunity. Maybe you can finally reconfigure the way you'd like people to be working in a certain space. Or perhaps if the team is going to undergo a structural change, there's going to be a new reporting line. Is there an opportunity to give people new roles and responsibilities that would give them the kinds of authority or the kinds of work that they've been asking for? And trying to find those places within the change that you're experiencing can be really, really helpful.
Right. You raise an interesting point that, you know, as we make all these changes in the interest of, you know, employee wellness and making everything work in a hybrid world, that the process itself can be really stressful. So, you know, how do you break through those barriers to get to the other side and hopefully have a, you know, a much more cohesive workplace?
I think soliciting feedback and soliciting input, again, are really critical. For example, if your legal department used to have a Friday pizza lunch once a month where everybody could come together in the legal department and it was a time to just socialize, but, you know, between budgets and cutbacks and people not coming into the office as much, perhaps it's become a situation where it's just not really something that's taken advantage of. But you probably have employees that really look forward to that and think of this as yet another negative in post-COVID work culture that is difficult for them. I think asking, you know, what would be helpful here? What would be something else that we could do? Maybe it's having a brown bag lunch where everybody comes once a month instead to do something, or maybe it's having a forum once a month for people to talk about things that they're identifying that they would like to see changed in the workplace. But I think soliciting that feedback and that input as people are going through, even small things like a once a month luncheon that maybe didn't seem so important over the last 3 years when people were working from home, can take on new importance. And being sensitive to hearing why that is and what was important and what employees would like to do to see something similar, something different, or to capture the spirit of what they found that was reassuring and positive for them.
Gotcha. So moving forward, as we settle into a hybrid work environment for the foreseeable future, if not permanently, how can administrators adapt and fortify their mindset to succeed in this environment? And, you know, how can they help their employees do that if need be?
I think a great way to approach that is to be thinking what's working and what's not working, and keeping even a list of those things. What's working well as we've transitioned to a more permanent hybrid workforce? Am I able to see the work that's happening, that the quality or the value of what I'm seeing from my team? If I'm not able to see that, what are some ways that I could work to achieve that? Do I need to do a different evaluation process? Do I need to have a different communication style? One of the things I think also that we've learned from work from home and hybrid work is that not everybody is great at being on video. Not everybody wants to do that. Maybe being on phone is easier. And some people need more flexibility now. Again, if you have adapted to a new work schedule, the 8 a.m. meeting may not be as conducive for discussion for you and a direct report anymore. It may be better to do that at noontime or later in the day. And seeing when you can work to accommodate someone's preference like that, I think is helpful. I'm not suggesting that you can refit your whole workday, but just asking what's not working. Maybe I'm not connecting with Laura because she seems distracted in the morning and she doesn't really want to be on video. Maybe I just need to ask her, how can I approach this? And I think keeping that listing, what's working, what's not working, and if something's not working, trying to identify what could make it better, including by asking what's worked well in the past, what has the employee responded to, and what can you learn from the employee about what would be a better way of connecting with them?
Sure. So basically, a lot of my understanding is a lot of it comes down to collaboration and communication. And
I think that's right.
Yeah. So those are so key to making sure everybody, you know, feels like they're on the same team and working together. So I think that's great.
One of the things that comes up frequently is transparency. I think people want their boss, their workplace, to be more transparent about changes as they're coming, including to say to employees, look, there's going to be an announcement coming next week about how we're going to change work times or work schedules, or what's going to be expected in terms of KPIs for the coming year. And I want to talk through those with you. I want to try to answer any questions. I want to see if there's an opportunity, if there's something that is really difficult, if we can ask for a deferral of that for a year, if we can ask for another change. But that transparency, the communication is good, but really the transparency and the two-way communication street is really important.
For sure. Thanks a lot, Laura, for coming on and sharing your insight. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Justin. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I appreciate the time today.
Definitely. Thanks to our viewers, listeners, and subscribers for tuning in. If you like the show, please subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast so that you never miss an episode. And as always, you can learn more about ALA at alanet.org. Until next time.